little
while ago. Maybe about 45 minutes. I was getting ready to go out. And as I usually do, I ended the conference call. Started it, and then started it over. The program I have now lasts 9 hours, but I like to start it over once in a while because sometimes after like 5 hours, it'll throw an error and none of the calls will work. So I did that. And when I end the call, I'm automatically emailed a report of who called, how long they connected, all that. And it's always the same, or almost always the same. It's always just the same phone number from the machines. Here and there, there's been some exceptions to that, but that's another story. So I did that. I hung up the call and started it again. And I didn't realize that I had just cut off the Gothamist reporter who wrote the first piece about this back in May. Somehow he got the number. And I don't know what to think of it, but I expected this to happen someday. This is the remonstrance that I've been waiting for. I just don't know what's going to happen. I also don't know if whoever gave him the number identified me, but it didn't look like it because, well, I'll have to go check that again. So, I think it might be that my partner gave it out to somebody who did this, or maybe he did it himself, because if he did it, then it's all good. Because he said, like, last week that he's been proud to be a part of this, been proud to be a part of something so exciting. And I actually really appreciated that. And maybe in outing me, he can get a little FaceTime himself. I actually think he could tell the story of this whole thing better than I can. Just because he's just like a sponge of information. So, it might be that the stuff, if it is he who did it, I don't know. I don't know if I don't know him that. And I realize I don't really know this guy that well. If it was him, then he will not reveal who I am because he understands the aesthetic of this whole thing, the aesthetic of invisibility. And I think everybody involved does, to whatever extent they're connected to it. I think his girlfriend called in last night, and there was also an unidentified caller last night. And that sort of thing doesn't happen. The reports always just show like a long list of the same phone number. I don't know what she thinks about all this. She sounds like she gets impatient with him like anytime they go anywhere. And they go by one of these things, he stops and dials the number, and she gets impatient. But I don't think she's, like, seriously irate with the guy. It's, you know, just trying to stick to the plan or whatever. So, of the four Gothamist stories, that first one that this dude wrote was the best. And he actually ended it with it was snarky and everything, but he ended it with an insightful possibility that this was a form of protest or something else. The piece I posted last night, I listened to it after I got home again. I was like, damn, this is good. And so I tried to make another one today. It was not as good. So I have an idea for another one that I'll cook up later. If this dude actually publishes the number, that's going to be excellent. That's going to be tremendous. And I'm going to make sure that the program stays running night and day because of that. It's intriguing, though, to think of where else he might have gotten the number because maybe an insider at the company gave it to him for some reason. By the way, he's going to be on the air tomorrow on WNYC talking about this with the reporter from The Intercept who wrote the story, I guess, last week. So far, the story really doesn't impress me much, but, and at first I thought, well, why are they bringing him on? Because he's not really, I thought that they hadn't really addressed that issue of privacy and surveillance at Gothamist, but I guess they probably have. I'd have to go back and find it. And, of course, Gothamist is part of WNYC now. Well, we'll see what happens. I'm I don't know if I should be nervous or excited or both, but if they're sick too, if everybody kept their promise, then I'll remain invisible.